This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I'm number three, Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as I'm combing through, trying to find our number here on the Fever. So it is worth pointing out, I've been through three different books now, Doug. The 18, at least at DraftKings, is a good number.
Yeah, some of the sharper books. Look, I don't want to call out certain books, but I just think odds makers, they're not like overly staffed, right? And there's a lot going on. I just think sometimes they may be, you know, caught off guard a little bit and not adjusting the numbers every second of every day. So some of the books that are asleep at the wheel have a higher number on the Fever. And it's not even just that. It's not like something happened. It's not like they just signed someone. I just think the other books have implementing their opinion much more so, and they don't want Fever money. And that should tell you something. So Circa and some other books are much lower in the market. And Circa usually has a higher hold percentage, not usually does. So if they're going to be that low on the market, they're telling you like they don't want any Fever money.
I can tell you right now, I have gone through every one of the books out there. So if you're in a DraftKings market, it is the best number that's out there. MGM, Caesars.
I mean, it's a long shot.
Yeah.
But they're all
14 ish.
I'm telling you, if Clark's at her best and not hurt, they're really good. Cause if she can hit shots, cause that's all it is. Everyone's like, oh, she's this, the physical. Honestly, it's like a make or miss situation. She was missing a lot of threes, especially on the road. She wasn't that very good this season to start, but when she's bombing, and then Kelsey Mitchell's just as good of a scorer, to be honest, she's so fast and can shoot just as much. And, I think there's just a really tough out. I don't like their coach. Very, let's call it not smart with challenges. And I think that's a good litmus test of intelligence. Lynx coach is the best. The Golden State Valkyries coach is second best, or the Aces. Maybe they're 1A, 2A, 2B. And then after that, it's like, I think I like the Storm coach, even though they're nowhere near the playoffs, because she's an MIT product and they're so analytically driven. And they have a 20-year-old as their best player. So they're definitely on the future sort of path. But she's like, other than those four, I don't like any of them.
We're about to get back-to-back challenges. I love when it's back-to-back challenges. Yeah,
just shaming, publicly shaming the ump.
Got him twice in a row. So now the ump is going to be like so gun-shy. That's amazing. Two pitches in a row he missed. Oh, that's so great. I love when that happens.
They must love it when they get challenged early and are right.
I know.
It's like a total flex.
And then the catcher just instantly just tapped his head. He was like, yeah, no, that was definitely a strike.
The old 1.5 live total plus money on the over. Here we go. Top nine. We're headed. Ramirez may be coming up.
One hit for the Guardians.
They have not scored a meaningful run since the third or fourth inning on Friday.
One hit for them. Messick goes 7 2/3. And again, it's going to show that he gave up six hits. None of them were hit hard. No. none of them were hit hard. And so it's been one of those games. 1-0 Rays, the 61-43 Rays. I imagine they're going to go to Baker here, who's been a great closer for them this season. So we'll see if they can close this thing out.
Home record, 37-15.
Yeah.
Absurd. So you mentioned their record, 18 games above 500. They're under 500 on the road. So that just tells you what they're doing at home.
Just absolutely crazy there. This would inch the Guardians a little bit closer to 500. Again, they're 54-52 currently right now as we...
But just a game and a half out.
Yes. That's what that division showed you. Guys, by the way, if you are not a VSiN Pro subscriber, we have a special. And it does end soon, though. So you need to go in. $175 everything now to the end of the Super Bowl. That gets you every single... Yeah, we're heading into football season for sure, but that gets you every single sport that we do. We're breaking down stuff that you don't have the time to break down, so go in, take advantage of the tennis stuff, take advantage of the WNBA stuff, take advantage of the horse racing stuff, the golf stuff, all the things that you don't have time to handicap on a day-in, day-out basis. VSiN.com/subscribe. $175 now to the end of the Super Bowl. Get you the NFL betting guide as well as Fantasy Life's football guide, Fantasy Football Guide, featuring 425 different player profiles, projections, and rankings. As we look, we got more runs in Diamondbacks and Nats in the first two innings than we have in this one. We have the same amount of runs in the Cubs, Pirates, Braves, Orioles, and more runs in the Royals and Tigers than we have in all these. So 1-1 Diamondbacks and Nats early on there. They're in the bottom of the second. The Braves got an early run against the Orioles. We're heading to the bottom of the second there. And that one, the Cubs got one early on the Pirates. It's 1-0 over there in that one. And then Framber Valdez, man, it is. He hitting on the hill today for the Tigers.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So another 31 pitch first inning.
Well, he got out of the first at least.
Yeah.
That's more than he can say for his last start.
A 31 pitch first inning for Framber Valdez, in which the Royals get 2 runs off of him. I mean, golly.
So Matt, sometimes I like to say old Doug would have bet this with both hands at the counter, right? Old Doug would have bet the Dodgers today. And, you know, the Mets have looked lifeless and things like that, but they showed me something yesterday. Dodgers were kind of fortunate to get a win because they had the Mets had a throw on defense that bounced off a helmet, and Mets were threatening a couple innings. Today, Sheehan's going for LA, and I just had a feeling that that was like a square bet. Now, it's only 1-0 through one. Mets do have the lead, but I just thought it was one of those games where you got to be careful. It was a little bit of a trap betting on the Dodgers there.
Sheehan's the one guy that I have actually repeatedly tried to bet against with the Dodgers. If the price was right, I've repeatedly tried to get in against him. He's the one that I trust the absolute least of any of those starters, which is why I know that they will go get another one.
And he's the home road split guy, right? Yeah. His road's not good at all.
It's like he's the reason why I know they will go get an arm at the deadline. Now it might not be Scooble.
They're supposed to have Snell back at some point, right? And the bullpen's going to get Diaz back.
Apparently Wednesday, by the way.
Yeah, he was going to pitch this weekend in the Mets.
He's coming. They wanted to run him out one more time this weekend. I guess he is going to be activated on Wednesday. So you get your all-star closer back for this Dodger team, which is obviously a big boost for them there in that one. But boy, we talked about it yesterday though, Doug. It's like such a big buffer. None of the teams behind them threatening. It's just like, got to be a great position to be in. You're sitting here going like, yeah, we're not going to pitch Shohei. Get a little bit of a knee thing. We're not gonna pitch him.
Should we get Scooble? I don't know. Do you feel like getting Scooble? Like,
to have the farm system to be able to go and make that happen.
And that is the difference maker. It's not just buying the talent, because obviously they went and got Tucker. Obviously they went and got Otani. I get it. And I'm an LA fan, so I'll be a little bit of an apologist. But they have some homegrown studs as well. Mm-hmm. So their scouting and their drafting has been very good. Now, they didn't have to give up a lot to go get Mookie, but you know, they gave up some pieces, and heck, I would say this when the Yankees had a real owner with Steinbrenner and everything, and they would spend the money. I was jealous. I never was jealous. I was jealous that they had that owner, not saying, oh, the Yankees are ruining baseball. I was like, no, they have an owner who's willing to spend. So the Dodgers are too.
How about this line for a July 26 game? -375 in favor of the Brewers at home over the Rockies as the Miz takes the hill. For the Brewers, you can get nearly 3-1 on the Rockies. You know, Doug, this is where you just said old Doug. Old Matt would, on principle, just play the Rockies because it's 3-1.
I was talking about this with a buddy on Friday. I was like, what do you think this line is? I said $5. I was like, will we get $5? And he's like, honestly, no, because Miz is on a pitch count. Mm-hmm. And the Rockies lineup's pretty good. And they actually lead, I think, baseball. They're top 5 team in terms of late inning runs. So it's tough to do run lines against them as well. But I actually think the offense is good. The Brewers have not been hitting. It's not like their offense is explosive. So he thought it'd be closer to $3. And it's a little bit in between, like you said, 370-ish. Mm-hmm. I'd be very careful. Now, the Miz is supposed to have his full sort of leash and not be on a tight pitch count. But I'd be careful there. Yes, he's going to have a million strikeouts. Mm-hmm. He's going to throw gas. But that doesn't mean he's not going to give up hits. The Rockies called up a guy named Carrig is his last name. He's pretty good. Karros's kid has been raking. I would say be careful fading this Rockies. Now, the problem is Freeland is on the bump.
Yes.
And he has free runs. He is so bad. And I just can't bet on Kyle. Yeah. Maybe a team total or something, but I wouldn't lay the 375. But, you know, overnight, I've never seen this sort of a delta, this much of a gap. The run line was like $1.25. So from 375 to now, you got to be careful there. And I think it's like $1.50 now, but
yeah, it's going to be interesting with this Brewers team as well. A team that should be buyers at the deadline.
They should be buyers of Scooble is what they should
and
be.
And they have a pretty good minor league system as well. So like they actually have some prospects that they could give up. This is not a team that has made a bunch of splashy plays in the past. However, you look at this lineup, Doug, you don't want to waste what you got going on right now. I mean,
That's my point.
They've got it good.
Are you willing to go give those prospects up for a rental when you have the Dodgers to go through in the NL?
Maybe it's if it's
they have the Miz.
Yeah.
They have the Miz.
If it's not Scooble, maybe it's kind of the next tier guy or something, or maybe you go get one more bat or whatever it is.
The next tier guys. They already have those guys.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at this lineup, this is why I thought this team was so dangerous and still think that this team is so dangerous, because even if they don't add anybody, right? Like, you have to get through Miz, Logan Henderson, and Harrison. Like, I mean,
that's my point. They don't need a next tier guy because they have them as their second and third start. You either go get a bona fide ace to have a monster 1-2, or you just roll out what you got.
Yeah.
Or maybe go get a bat.
Maybe go get a bat. Yeah. Maybe go get a bat to throw in there. But I think this team is super interesting. I'm pretty into this Brewers team and certainly what they bring to the table. We already got Greg's thoughts on the A's and the Twins, which is going to be going off here in a minute. We also have the Astros and the White Sox, Blanco versus Fetty in that one. It's about a coin flip, a little bit shade. Yeah. A little bit shaded towards the White Sox. I will not have that. We're not putting this on the TV in here anywhere. I don't want to see this game. Like, whenever it's Blanco and Fetty on the hill, I don't want to see any of this stuff.
I will say 3-2 count with Jose Ramirez with one out. He challenged him with a fastball. He roped one, but it was dead center. So now two outs and two strikes. Baker trying to shut this down. Cleveland just one hit today. And it's a 1-0 game. And with total pitcher's duel.
And again, like I said, the 61 and 43 Tampa Bay Rays looking to move to 62 and 43. Did not see this one coming, Doug. I thought they would be frisky.
A lot of unders everywhere else I'm looking.
Yeah, thought they would be frisky. Did not think they would be this good. And we're getting one pitch away here from them moving to 62 wins. When we come back, Adam Ronis on All Things Football.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. It is over. 1-0. Baker comes in and gets it done. So the Rays, 62 and 43, as Doug mentioned, now move to 38 and 15 at home on the season and just continue to figure out ways to get it done.
I mean, they have the starting pitching. They have the arms. Rasmussen, Martinez, like, they are legit from a starting standpoint, and they usually have more hits.
Yeah.
Messick was great today.
Yeah.
And they just,
fantastic.
They literally the definition of manufacturing one run, which they did. But yesterday, 3-0. I mean, they got a lot of runs Friday, 11, I want to say. So they're a tough out. They're a favorite in the division for a reason.
Now joining us here on the guest line, you can find him over at Fantasy Life, also SiriusXM Fantasy Station, Adam Ronis over on the Twitter machine as well. And he is, in fact, Adam Ronis. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well. It's definitely a great day. I know you guys talking some baseball. I'm into baseball too, so love it.
Yeah, it's it's always NFL season here at the network for sure, but it's really starting to kick in here now that we are approaching August. And guys, of course, if you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, you also get that Fantasy Life fantasy football guide as well. And listen, you know, Adam, everybody, we know how fantasy now and sports betting go hand in hand with the player prop stuff and all of that. Everyone's basically doing projections and trying to figure this stuff out. And so as we are heading into this season, and I think one of the biggest questions for me usually is how big of an impact are some of these rookies going to have? We've seen some of these guys just step in and absolutely take over, Jamar Chases of the world and things like that. And some guys take a little bit longer to get going. Is there a particular rookie that you are higher on than most? And maybe even on the flip side, one that you are lower on than most?
Yeah, I think this rookie class is not as impactful for fantasy as recent seasons. You're not seeing a lot of them go in the first few rounds. I do like Carnell Tate a lot because I think he goes into a situation in Tennessee where he's going to command a lot of targets with Brian Daboll taking over as the offensive coordinator. I think we'll see Cam Ward step up. So I think Carnell Tate goes into a situation where he can get 100, 130 targets, 120, 130 targets, and he's going generally in the fifth, sixth round. So I think he's in a really good spot this year. I think Jordan Tyson, too. I think a lot of people are a little down on him because of all the injuries that have plagued him in college. And he goes into a situation with the Saints where Kellen Moore is the offensive coordinator. They run a fast-paced offense. They run a lot of plays. He's got Chris Olave on the other side. So I think those are the two receivers that really stand out among the rookies this year. I think a lot of the other guys, it's going to take some time where you might not see them have a big impact until late in the season. You know, remember a couple years ago, Jalen McMillan, he didn't do much at all, much of his rookie year, but he was a league winner for fantasy leagues down the stretch. So you might see some of those rookies take some time to really make that impact in fantasy this year.
So Adam, not all of us are locked in right now on things, but Matt and I have been discussing the NFC South all weekend, and it's sort of the Bucs are like the incumbent, even though they didn't win the division last year, because there's so much turnover and uncertainty with the other teams. But we know about the head coach. We know about Baker Mayfield, but they've had injuries, right? And they don't have Mike Evans this year, but Igbuka did miss some time. But injuries are different, right? Sometimes it's a guy who's perennially hurt, like we've talked about Joel Embiid all weekend, because obviously the LeBron news. But with Igbuka, you're high on him, even though he had some injury issues last year. Why is that?
Yeah, first of all, this guy was drafted in the first round, so we know the talent coming out of Ohio State. And he made an immediate impact last season. He was the wide receiver 3 in fantasy through the first 5 weeks. I had him on a lot of teams last year. I felt great. Then it kind of fell apart, and there was a lot of reasons why. The offensive line had a lot of injuries. Baker Mayfield was banged up. I mean, every single week it was a new injury for him. Igbuka, from week 7 on, 50% of the passes thrown to him were catchable. So it was, and he also had a hamstring injury too. So he was trying to play through it. So it was a lot of factors there. He also was a target machine when Mike Evans was off the field. And we know Mike Evans is gone in San Francisco. So they also talked about moving him around the formation. He's going to play the Z, you know, make sure he doesn't get that press coverage, giving him that release off the line of scrimmage. So I think he's in store for a big season because we've already seen a glimpse of it. We saw it last year. You know, most rookies tend to struggle early on. He came in, he made an immediate impact and was taking off. Baker Mayfield, through the first 5-6 weeks, was getting MVP consideration. We knew it was kind of fool's gold, but the pieces are there. And Igbuka, I think, is a guy that's just going to explode this year. And in very competitive drafts, he's going early, but in home leagues and your office leagues, he's probably going to go in round 3 or round 4. And that's a price that I'm going to take every time.
Okay.
Talking to Adam Ronis. Adam, what is the strategy with running back this year? For a while, it was, okay, running backs aren't worth it. You can find a guy in the late rounds that's going to put up similar production to this same guy that you're taking with your first or second round pick. But then you see guys like Gibbs and Robinson, and you see some of the difference makers there. What are we doing this year at the running back position?
Yeah, running backs are going earlier than ever. We went through a stretch where receivers were going in the first few rounds and running backs started to get pushed back. That has changed, so it's kind of more old school now. And I think a big reason for that is the running backs have stayed pretty much healthy over the last few years. Now, will that continue? Who knows? It's football, injuries can occur, but there's a lot of young running backs too, as you alluded to. I mean, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs are going top 2 in every single draft, whether it's 1 or 2. Then you got Devon Achane. Yes, he's in a bad offense, but a young running back with a ton of talent. Derrick Henry, the guy never goes away, so he's still going around too. So you have a lot of talented guys, Jonathan Taylor. So it depends where you pick. This year, more than ever, if I'm picking at the back end of the first round, I actually don't mind starting a draft with 2 running backs. I think if you're picking at the top and getting a Bijan Gibbs, I think you can load up on receivers, mix in a tight end after, and wait on your second running back. And also it depends on what your starting lineup is. If you're in a league with 2 running backs, 2 receivers, 1 flex, you can go in a multitude of directions. If you play in a league with 2 running backs, 3 receivers, and 1 flex, I think it's important to get those top receivers early because you pretty much know. If you look at the top 20 receivers and points per game last year, almost all of them commanded 100 to 140 targets. They were top options in the offense, and we know who those guys are. It's very difficult to get an impact wide receiver after round 10, even if injuries occur. It's very rare. Puka Nacua from his rookie year is kind of one of the exceptions. Wandale Robinson last year was one who did finish in the top 20 because he just got flooded with targets. But if you go look at most of those guys, they're all taken in rounds, the first 4 to 5 rounds. So that's why it's important if you're in a league that emphasizes receivers to get those receivers early. But I think like the back end of the first round, like you could start with a James Cook and Chase Brown. I love that start, so I'm willing to do it. So a lot depends on where you're picking, but just beware, the running backs are going early this year. You're seeing a lot go in the first 2 rounds.
All right, this is really good insight because I've not done a fantasy draft yet, and I haven't even done any mocks, so it's good to get some context on this. Also in drafts, you can avoid some guys. They're not going to keep falling way past you, but in terms of ADP and average draft position, also auctions, you can just avoid sort of bidding on guys. Sounds like you're fading Tet McMillan, who had a monster year. Now, teams in the NFL were questioned his work ethic coming out of college, but why are you anti-McMillan this year for the Panthers?
I love the talent. There's no denying it, but there's a problem at quarterback, and his name is Bryce Young.
Yes.
Right? I mean, he just doesn't pass for a lot of yards. And you could look at the overall numbers last year and go, oh, okay, as a rookie, 70 catches, 1,014 yards, 7 touchdowns. But it's just kind of looking on a game-to-game basis. Like, he just doesn't explode. He doesn't go off. And I had him, and he only had 4 games of double-digit targets. This is a guy that should be commanding more targets. So it's based on the price, too. Like, if he falls outside the top 20 wide receivers, I'm interested. But I see in a lot of leagues he's going 14th, 15th wide receiver off the board. And I think in that range, it's such a tight tier that there are players that I like better, like a Zay Flowers, a T. Higgins, a Luke DeBurton, a Terry McLaurin, especially right now. We'll see if they add another receiver. But he's going to command a ton of targets. We knew last year, coming off the holdout, injuries were a possibility. It happened. Jaden Daniels was banged up. But we saw McLaurin 2 years ago with a healthy Jaden Daniels, 13 touchdowns. So there's just a lot of receivers in that range based on his ADP that I like better. And Bryce Young is definitely the concern for me when it comes to Tetteroa McMillan.
As we got a final 90 seconds here, Adam, we talked about the running back position. What about the quarterback position? How early are we willing to take someone, and kind of what tier of person does that need to be? And then, because I know there's basically the two schools of thought here. Some are willing to spend on the guys a little bit earlier, the guys that do it all, and then some are willing to just take some of the middling guys way later in the drafts.
Yeah, I'm a wait on quarterback guy. I just can't pay up for, as good as Josh Allen is, and we know he's reliable, he stays healthy, rushing touchdowns, but you got to spend a second round pick on him. There's just too much talent at running back, receiver. Even a Brock Bowers at tight end in second round is certainly someone I would take over him. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to look at Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence had a great finish to the season. Finally got a good coach in there. Everything clicked. Had 9 rushing touchdowns. We know that's not going to repeat, but he can run a little bit. Career high, 29 passing touchdowns. Brock Purdy, always undervalued. It doesn't matter. People always say he's a product of the system. He always puts up numbers. So there's a lot of quarterback, Dak Prescott, Caleb Williams, a lot of those guys. And then you could always get a second quarterback to pair with upside. Like last year, that guy was Drake May. He turned into a guy you were starting every week. So, you know, Baker Mayfield's a good bounce back quarterback. We all knew he was going to regress after the career year. This year, he could bounce back, and he's very cheap.
Guys, he is Adam Ronis. Find his work over at SiriusXM on the Fantasy Life Show. Also at Adam Ronis on the Twitter machine. Appreciate the time, man, and good luck this season.
Thanks. Same to you guys.
Guys, that insight and more, of course, if you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, get that Fantasy Life Fantasy Football guy. That kind of gets me pumped up, Doug. I'm ready
to get now.
Now ready to pound out some drafts. We'll continue this here on the other side.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In a that didn't take long, Brewers and Rockies, 103-102, 103-103, 104-103. He did throw a curveball at 91, 103 strikeout. Then comes Moniak, 104-103, 103 strikeout. And then in comes Goodman, 104, 103, 103, 104, strikeout. Strikes out the side in the first. And as you said, free runs there from Freeland. 3-0 already in favor of the Brewers in the first inning. Sometimes the big favorite thing makes sense.
Yeah, they're 375 for a
reason.
You
just can't. Yeah, but you just can't bet it if you're betting baseball every day. You know,
well, certain times you can. Yeah. I just didn't like, because we don't know if Mizorowski's on a pitch count. We don't love the Brewers offense, but Freeland is so bad. That was the key. If it was, honestly, if it was anybody else in that Rockies rotation, I would be looking at Colorado, but Freeland is terrible.
The free fall for the A's. Again, still lots of baseball to play, but they give up a 3 spot in the bottom of the first inning well. Yeah, it's just so Springs gives up a 3 spot there. So 3-0 Twins again, trying to make, they're 52-54 in that crappy division. they are not out of it. Every win matters for them. What do they do at the trade deadline? I mean, there's like these middling teams have such horrible decisions to make.
Well, once we get to the playoffs, whoever does advance, I mean, we're going to be getting some pitching matchup with Zebby Matthews, yes, and some of these other guys. Like, what are we doing here?
In the and then also in the didn't take long, a scoreless first inning turned into 3 in the bottom of the second and 4 in the bottom of the third, 7-1 Pirates over the Cubs right now as Jameson Taillon. 7 earned, all of them earned against him through 3.
Taillon was the number 2 overall pick between Strasburg and Machado, if I remember correctly. I know he was the number 2. Mm-hmm. I think it's between Strasburg and Machado. He's been around forever, had some arm issues. Before he got hurt recently, he gave up the most home runs in the National League. Again, I talked about it earlier with the Cardinals on deck for the Cubs off the big win yesterday. I had a feeling that Pirates were the right side there.
You look at this lineup too, and it's just like, I mean, Esmerlin Valdez, who, by the way, has been on this ridiculous heater. He goes deep again. O'Hearn goes deep off of him. So the homer prone still continues
PCA is awesome, but yeah, that middle to the bottom of the lineup just has not been hitting for the Cubbies.
The Arizona Diamondbacks have now taken a 3-2 lead over Washington there in that one. But we do get another homer out of Abrams.
You were apprehensive about can I take over 10? I'm like, it's going to be 11.5 at some point in the game.
Yeah, there it is. Abrams goes deep again, one of those guys that were wondering what kind of offers are going to be sent to the Nationals for a guy like him. I mean, he's a shortstop. He's got 26 homers already. He's going to hit 30 bombs this year. He's going to steal 25 bases. I mean, this is an actual legit difference maker that might be available.
Really? What the reports are?
The reports are might be available depending on what a team is willing to part with. Okay. Because I guess the ownership does understand that they're not there yet, right? And it's like, we can hold on to him, but then at what cost, right? Down the line. So we'll see.
Right.
It would take the right offer. It would take the right offer for sure.
I mean, that would really swing. You talk about the Brewers needing a bat, things like that would really swing things for a team.
So we do this, you guys listen to us for a while. So, I always say like, hey, if you had 100 Matt bucks, what would you do? We always say these different little things. Well, I'm going to give Doug 100 Matt bucks, and he's going to be able to go in and chop it up and make 3 different futures over in the NFL. And obviously, if you're only chopping up 100 bucks, they're going to be a little bit longer plays here because these are, well, how do I maximize, the amount of money that I'm putting out of here? So let's start with one that I love because it involves a team that I already said I'm super incredibly high on and a Super Bowl matchup.
So any bet I'm going to make, even if I was making a bet the rest of the baseball season, I would only look at long shots. Mm-hmm. I don't want -130s right, or +170s unless I'm going to make a heavy, heavy bet. Now, I did make a bet at the All-Star break on the Oakland A's under 71.5 wins, but I went uncomfortably heavy just because I had action every day on a game and things like that. I only bet futures that are worthwhile longer tickets. So I wanted to start with the Rams in an exact matchup. I think they're called exact as at all the books. It is the matchup in a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can say over the other team. Yeah. So it could just be basically a 2-leg parlay of each team winning their conference. If you want to just say the matchup, or if you want to say a certain team over another one. So it's a 2-leg parlay essentially of a Super Bowl future and the other team's conference odds. Yeah. That's really what you're doing, a 2-leg futures parlay. And so the Rams, I think, are going to be there come playoff time, right? They're going to be in the mix. They're the overall favorite. Which team in the AFC do I want to partner them with to get some ridiculous odds, like 59-1? I like the Chargers here. Doesn't mean they're going to have the best record or be the one seed in the AFC because they obviously have a tough division. I think Mike McDaniels is so good. I just think his play calling and what he does, he makes lemonade out of lemons, and what he did with Tua and all that stuff with the creativity. If you listen to guys, so I worked with at ESPN and other guys on the radio who played under him when he was a wide receiver coach, and they said he was the smartest coach they ever met. And his play, I don't think he's a head coach.
Right.
I don't think he has the cachet, the CEO locker room sort of presence that like a Mike Tomlin does or even a Dan Campbell. But I think he's an X's and O's guy, and I think he'll fit perfectly with Jim Harbaugh. I think Harbaugh's going to teach him some things as well. Harbaugh needed this. I think Herbert, he has his couple brain cramps a game, but I think the weapons are there, the defense there. I think to get 59-1 on the Rams to beat the Chargers. Also, when you put together a portfolio like this, you want to be able to play out of stuff. So So it's nice to have the Rams, who are going to be favored we think, in the playoffs and stuff like that. You can take the dog plus money in the NFC, yep. stuff like that. You can get a little creative in that regard. So that's why, again, 59-1, that's what I want to do.
Absolutely love it. People kind of under the radar because we like to talk about the sexy stuff, but with the Chargers, they get to move Joe Alt back to right tackle because Rashawn Slater is coming back. And like, this was a huge loss at the beginning
top
of the season.
Pick.
Yeah. Last year. And you just remember, you remember Justin Herbert running for his life. And it was like Joe Alt was playing out of position and the offensive line kind of crumbled with all of that. You get back a massive left tackle, get to move the right tackle back to where he feels more comfortable. And now this is your bookends right here with Justin Herbert, who I think again is a true real talent in this league.
And again, Herbert will have those brain cramps, but he's like he was valedictorian of his high school class. Maybe it's a Mensa thing or something. I think McDaniel can maybe slow it down for him and hopefully prevent those synapses, if you will, and maybe get him to see the field clearly.
I also like this other one, and mainly because you've heard us talk about this on the program tons. Like, if you can draw a line to something, then to me, if you can draw a line there, and it's not like you're having to do these crazy loops all over the place to get there. If you can draw a line to something, then this is a bet that is at least worth talking about. And in this one, some people are going to like roll their eyes, but you can draw a line to this.
Yes. And nowadays when you build a portfolio, you can always sell a ticket on prop swap. You can take a cash out. It's very different than maybe like 5-10 years ago. So Kyler Murray to win MVP, it's 50-1. I'm old enough to remember Sam Darnold being in the MVP discussion for the Minnesota Vikings when they were on a path to the one seed. I believe in Kevin O'Connell, and I believe in improvement, right? I say this mostly in college basketball. Teams in November, December are allowed to improve, especially when the guys are so young. I think we saw Sam Darnold get better in his career. We saw Baker Mayfield improve. We've seen Bryce Young, even younger, get better to a certain extent. I think Kyler Murray can get better with the right coaching. He had some turnover there in Arizona. I think he's got ridiculous weapons in Minnesota with Jefferson, the tight end, Addison. I don't love their running game. He's a dual threat quarterback. I think Kevin O'Connell's very creative, and he can get better too. And that division is up for grabs. It's deep. It's pretty good, obviously, with the line. Not a lot of great defenses. I think it's worth a 50-1 shot. Again, he can put up video game numbers with his legs and throwing to Jefferson. And I think O'Connell's that good, and all those weapons are that good.
Yeah, love this one as well. Another kind of, again, kind of not
it
super.
It may not cash, but again, you can buy out of it.
It's not super sexy, but they signed Juwan Jennings as well. So now you're like, your three wide receiver set is Jefferson, Addison, and Jennings. That's more than Kyler Murray's ever had anywhere close to having, you know? And so if there's anything left in the tank, we will certainly find out. And your last one here, obviously one of the absolute studs in the game, in CeeDee Lamb.
That offense, first of all, that Dallas defense is horrific, okay? But they're going to be in a lot of games. And last year with Dak, CeeDee Lamb to have at least 200 receiving yards in a game, 16-1 is about the basement I'll go in a futures bet that I have to wait to cash. But maybe if he gets it midseason, you can get paid in your account right away too. That's another thing I like. I think they're just going to be pass happy a lot. I like Schottenheimer. I really do. I think he's paid his dues. It's not just nepotism being the son of a head coach. And I think Lamb's that good. The bombs. I mean, he's a little bit of a head case and things like that. He had $150 in a game either last year or the year before. I think 200 at least in one game, I think it's worth 16-1.
With that offense and with Dak throwing in that defense, like I also believe that that could be one that could cash in like week six.
See, it's really the week 4 to 9 stretch is when these things could cash.
Yeah, I mean, like that could cash in week 6. CeeDee Lamb, obviously, if there's a handful of guys that you would want to tag as to potentially having a 200 yard game, he would certainly be up there at the top. That's how Doug's taking my 100 Matt bucks and how he's chopping it up. Final thoughts when we come back.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
102, 102, 102, 102, 91 strikeout. Then we go to 102, 103, 103, 104 strikeout. And then we go to 104, 103, 103, 103, 104 strikeout, six up, six down, six strikeouts for the Miz.
It's really remarkable because Aroldis Chapman does it for like one inning, not even that high sometimes. And then this guy's doing it for every start.
I mean, six up, six down, six strikeouts for the Miz. So if you were worried about a pitch count, the only thing that gets pitch counts up really, really quick is just when you strike everybody out.
Right.
So like, I mean, there is that we have going on with the Miz right now, but 32 pitches through two innings because he already has six strikeouts here of this Rockies team. They continue to be up 3-0 here in this one. As we were kind of looking around, Doug, and this is, you know, not rocket science. We follow baseball enough or whatever, but kind of everything we saw coming, it's happening here today in baseball. And it's still early and things can change, but you've got the Pirates kind of getting to tie on. You've got the Braves there getting to the Orioles. Then you see right here the Red Sox bouncing back against Gausman, 3-0 there with that one. The Royals getting it from Framber Valdez, who's not been very good. So kind of playing out according to very, very chalky here.
Yeah, the gut plays I questioned. Mm-hmm. I was like, easy on the Cubs there, and the Pirates are definitely breaking one. But I said easy on the Dodgers, and they're up 2-1. So Freddie Freeman, professional hitter, had a double down the left field line with two on, so big hit there. I said, be careful there. Sheehan's not good. It looks too easy. So right now, definitely on the wrong side of that. The A's definitely looked like a no-brainer fade, and it's 3-0, and Twins are threatening again in the second.
We said head for the hills when it was the Astros and the White Sox, and it was Blanco versus Fetty. That's already 2-2 in the third inning, so yeah. No shock there as well. Runs galore. Maybe that's where we should have gone.
But every play
there.
I made, it was all very small plays. I didn't love the until I do like the Cardinals today, fairly big. But all these other small plays are all losing. So
yeah, and of course 1-0. By the way, Rays get that the win. One hitter in that one for a collective one hitter for the Rays as this Guardians team falls to 54-53. And as Doug mentioned, has been a hot minute since they've actually strung some hits together. So this is not a good team at all. And by the way, over in that, probably not going to happen. Probably going to run out of holes, but 3M open T2.
What a game.
Scotty Scheffler. Scotty Scheffler.
Everyone just carving up the course, and here's Scheffler. It's almost like, I don't know, like Otani going back to play a minor league rehab assignment and hitting pitching. Like, what's he doing in this tournament? And then the fact that he was an overwhelming favorite, and then 13-1 to start the day.
Yeah.
Plus 1,300. Kind of fun to see how this all plays out.
Jackson Coivin, that being said, started the day with a 3-stroke lead. It is out to a 5-stroke lead because he's 2-under through 5. This is a guy, like we said, won everything in college. I mean, just like was all American, all over the place. Won everything, did everything you could do in college. Turned pro about a month and a half ago, and might win his first event here inside the first couple months of his career. So Jackson Coivin, 22-under for the tournament, 5-stroke lead over Scotty Scheffler and Brian Harman currently right now. Actually, Davis Thompson also at 17, as is Chandler Phillips. So a whole bunch of guys sitting there at 17. Ben Coles, Emiliano Grillo. So a whole handful of guys that are 5-under. Right now in this one, remember in the clubhouse, we already have a 9-under from Jake Knapp. Patrick Fishburn is on the course right now at 7-under through 16. So he still has that par 5 to play on 18.
18's a par 5.
So he might get to 8-under on the day. So there are scores on the back 9 to be had. So maybe this thing isn't over yet if Coivin were to stumble, but 5-stroke lead, going to be tough to lose that, I would think.
It's overwhelming because you know these guys. I don't know these guys. I know Scotty Scheffler, obviously, but just all the nuance involved in this tournament with the names, with how easy the course is playing. I mean, a guy earlier shot 8-under on the back nine. He birdied the entire back nine, but 17. Now he's not in the hunt, but what are we doing here?
I know that is. And I'm going to actually, while we're doing this, because it is so easy to do, they make us do this. I'm going to, what kind of putt did he miss on 17? Let's see. Okay, so he didn't put it close. It was a 38 footer. So I was gonna say, if he missed a close one on 17, that would be something else.
After
he had a 38 footer. So he didn't get that done. Guys, we talked about the contest. You can come down here, you can play them, sign up with a proxy, do all that. If you're not familiar with what we're even talking about, well, you can get a behind the scenes look here. The quest for 18.7 million, episode 1 out right now over on the VSiN YouTube page. You can watch it at your leisure anytime you want to go in and take a look at what's going on in this thing. I mean, this is the largest legal sports betting contest in the world, up to $18.7 million. And we talked to a bunch of the different characters, bunch of the different people here. I mean, some of these guys are so incredibly fun. Some make it back multiple times throughout the course of the season to come and sweat their tickets. And of course, Grandissimo gets entered in as well, the $100,000 buy-in survivor contest. And we talked to those people that, you know, again, we're fortunate enough to either have the money or have the money with a group of people to come in and fork down $100,000 to enter the contest. So go in right now. New episodes every single Wednesday, not only on the VSiN channel, but Game Plus up in Canada, NESN, MSG, all these different networks that are running the programming for us. So be sure to go in, take a look. It was fun to be a part of. And season four, by the way, is going at it right now. So if you want to be a part of this, if you're coming out to Circa, hit me up. Let me know. We'll see if we can't get you a part of season four somehow.
What is the documentary series? I know you're involved. It's awesome. It's been really cool to watch everything being captured, which is, yeah. It's so cool. And I mean, look, the NFL season, I get it. The refs can be annoying. These coaches can be annoying with just playing prevent victory on offense and all this drama, the witching hour. But it really is, when you get these kind of stakes with the point spread and everything, it does add. And look, I was fortunate to cash, tied for 14th 3 years ago, 2023. And it was awesome being on the right side of a lot of that stuff. And it, when it breaks your way, because you just never know. Human says this. You just never know when you're going to have your best season of handicapping. And you want to be in these contests when you do and everything goes right.
You might not remember. This was kind of the deal going back through everything for me. You might not remember how crazy last season was on certain weeks, because if you weren't betting that game and if you weren't in the contest, then maybe you might not remember exactly some of the absolute wacky stuff that went down over the course of last year. So even more reason to tune in. Kind of, you can kind of remember and go, oh, I do remember that actually. Oh, that's so brutal. You know, and I did that a couple of different times.
The Cardinals, Titans dropping the ball before the goal line. Nothing beats that.
The worst thing ever. Of course, the bloodbath of Thanksgiving, you know, all of the different things like that, that went down. Oh, we have a little note getting thrown in here. Arizona and Jacoby Brissett reached a new deal today.
Hey.
They reworked his contract, according to Adam Schefter. This is producer Rick throwing this stuff in here. So, they're going to pay him a second year of deal. We don't know the terms yet. He was on a deal that was going to pay him 4.88. So I assume this means it's going to be more than that.
Yes. I mean, it's all kind of monopoly money.
Yeah.
When you talk about guaranteed money versus non-guaranteed, that's the stuff that's the most important. Brissett is a stopgap, to say the least. I think they're going to essentially tank. We don't see it
you're that organization.
We never really got sucked for luck to a full extent, because teams did suck, but they didn't do it on purpose, because the Colts and the Jaguars were literally like trading leads in that game that ultimately decided the Indy getting that number one pick that year. But the Cardinals are going to be in the very top heavy division, let's call it.
This is a team that I would actually be okay with them tanking. It's just like, it is so incredibly obvious what the need is for this team. And if you
don't like Carson Beck,
if they just
round pick Carson Beck as quarterback of the future,
if they just came out and said to the fan base, even, guys, we're going to lose a bunch of games this year, we're going to get a top draft pick, and there might be six different quarterbacks that are worthy of being a top draft pick, you know, next year.
Right.
And we're going to get one of them.
Yeah.
And now you guys will have someone to root for and someone to rally around and new jerseys to go buy and all the different stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. If I'm a fan, I'd go, okay, I can deal with a year.
It's not like they're an 11-win team and they're going to choose to tank. Like, even if they tried their hardest, what's the ceiling? Six wins?
Yeah.
Wins is probably their absolute ceiling at the bell curve, like the little sliver at the end. Six wins has got to be the absolute most they can get.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that very hard, but I agree with you. Oh, he's slipping. One guy flied out to center. He struck the other two out. But,
like,
but one guy,
you're like the dad who's watching like the airplane thing. He was just fascinated by the dumbest thing.
Through three innings, 8 Ks now for the miss. 8 Ks in 3 innings. One guy flew out.
The airplane tracker here.
Yeah,
things online.
One guy flew out. If he had gone 9 up, 9 down, 9 strikeouts, I mean, I'm sure it's been done before. I would have been curious.
We had an immaculate inning the other day. I think it was Gavin Williams had the immaculate inning.
It would have been interesting because I'm, you know, the Twitter machine would have told us when the last time that happened. But yeah, man, that is just that is crazy stuff right there. But you know, 8 strikeouts through 3 innings, not too shabby. Not too shabby. Not I'm sure he's shabby. They're not going to throw him he's not on the trade block or anything like that. Doug, it's been fun, man. Last couple of days.
Yeah, as I say, a little 1-2 punch this weekend. Thanks for having me in studio.
Absolutely. And guys, Femi's going to take over for us here, so don't go anywhere. As always, good luck on all your bets.